Father, thank you for your word this morning. If your word will manifest us, Lord, and thank you that you this morning will empower us through your word and spirit to do your will, Father, to do that which you call us to do in this life, Lord. Thank you for the joy of the kingdom, Father. Thank you, Father, for joy to rush up from our inmost being, Father, the streams of living waters, Father. Thank you that you commission us today to be kingdom-minded, Father. Thank you that you commission us today to see your kingdom come and to see your kingdom established in our hearts, in our minds. Father, your word says your kingdom is within us. So, Father, even as we sang that song this morning, Father, your kingdom come, Father, let it come inside of us. Let it be a truth, Father, that it's bigger than something we can see or hear, Father. Let it be something that's a reality that's coming amongst us, that we can tangibly experience with our spiritual senses. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. So this morning I was just preparing this week, and God just reminded me about mission. So I just thought to reading a bit about missions. I'm just going to keep it simple this morning. Just bringing us back to the place of knowing the mission, what the mission is about. And what is the mission of the King? Our mission with the King. And by the way, that men's breakfast is going to be amazing. We have got 20 sign-ups at the moment, I think. So we probably have 10 more seats. So don't miss out on the breakfast. And let's invite some people that have not come to church. That's our huge opportunity. So if you know a man that needs to know Jesus, it's going to be amazing. And let's do that. Okay, so Pastor Andre will be getting the honors really amped about it. He's already working on like a handout and all kinds of things to make it nice. Okay, so last week I was asking if you could ask God anything that you could ask of him. This week, question I have is, if you could do anything of your life, what would it be? And I'm sure if you guys go in and circle here and ask everybody, then I'm sure everybody will give a different answer. Something with your life. What will it be? And that's a good thing. Because God calls us into diversity. He calls us by His Spirit to be a diverse people with diverse giftings, being called for the same purpose, to glorify Him. So to be different. But I would like this morning to make a statement and say, God calls us to be on mission with Him, to be on mission with the King. The King came to declare the Father's mission to the end of Jesus. And He's calling us to into that same mission. Morning in our lives. And that's what Jesus did when he walked past his disciples. He says, come follow me. Come and join me in my mission. And I'm trusting that after today, you'll be more encouraged, more excited about the King's mission in your life. Obviously, the Great Commission is for us to grant scripture for this. Matthew 28, verse 8 at the beginning. And Jesus came and scripted him, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven. Go to and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and know I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. A lot of us know the commission. You know, we are meant to make disciples. If I ask somebody, what is our commission here? What are our calling? What I would hopefully imagine that what Christians would say is to make disciples. You know, so Jesus, there is his ultimate commandment, commissioning us to make disciples. But I love really about the scripture. It's how God finishes. He says, "Lo." Basically saying, I promise if that will be your pursuit, I promise that I will be with you for the end of the end. So things in this life, I will not be your pursuit. In this life, you will not be alone. In this life, my reasons will go with you. And I don't know if you ever thought about it, but why, for instance, in this life, why would somebody want to get married? Why would you guys say that somebody would get married? In this world, there's a lot of reasons why people want to get married. Who wants to say, well, why would they want to get married? Why aren't you married? She is a friend called, he's really a music fan. He's recently married. He should have. Why didn't you get married?
Too obvious.
But the reason why we want to get married is in the beginning God says it's not good for man to be alone, you know? So basically God made us for a relationship. God made us for a relationship. So if I would say you can get married to somebody, but you're only going to see them every 6 months, you can maybe speak to them over the phone every 2 weeks. Would you agree to that kind of marriage? Would that be fine? You know, I think that would be quite weird. And the world we live in now, it's probably going to happen quite soon. It probably is happening with social media, all those things. We think we have a relationship because there is a there's a deal. You communicate, but you're actually not in somebody's presence. So I would make a case like marriage is about presence and about personality and about being with the person, being present. And it's not just a transactional agreement. And sometimes the gospel is sold as a transactional agreement. It's sold as do something and you'll get something. You know? Do say something and you'll inherit and live a life. It's like an insurance policy sometimes when it's sold like that. I've been reading Time magazine last year, I think I mentioned before, but in America the suicide rate amongst teenagers has gone up phenomenally. It's higher than ever before. And they say one of the reasons for that is the culture of social media. People don't have face-to-face presence, and people are more lonely than ever before. You know, they are a generation that has everything they can imagine. 55 TVs, whatever in their houses. They've got one of the richest nations in the world. They've got everything they can have. They've got everything your heart can desire. But the one lady that committed suicide, something was posted on Facebook, and she didn't get likes on it. And she got completely depressed, and people like, because people bored of them. So we measure our lives against supposed virtual liking, etc. And in the kingdom, that sometimes we can also have that kind of allure, you know, that wrong idea of the kingdom. And God is saying, you know, I'm calling you into partnership with what I am doing, you know. But I'm not saying you should just do it. You know, make disciples, but I will be with you. And the case that I want to make today is that God is on mission. He's actually just asking us to join him on that mission. So this morning I'm probably just going to confirm a lot of things in our hearts. What's important is we just come back and ask, why am I doing this? Why am I preaching here on a Sunday morning? Why am I doing things I'm doing in the week? Why am I at work being a witness? One of the main reasons is God is at work. And he's with me. And that's what keeps me doing what I'm doing. Okay? So we're on mission with this king. What is the mission that the king is on? The first thing that we have to look at this. When Jesus came, how did he come? How was he sent? What was his mission when he came? Because he's calling us on a mission with him. And we need to be on that same mission. Luke 4, 42 to 43. The crowds saw him. The crowd saw him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving him. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also because of this purpose. And there's a few statements in the Bible that says why Jesus came. And one of them is that he came to preach the kingdom for this purpose. I've been sent. What is the kingdom? The kingdom, when we think of the ancient times, where does the kingdom? The king has a palace, he's got a kingdom, he's got a land, and he's got certain laws and jurisdictions about that land. The preaching the kingdom is preaching Christ, and he is king. He is the in the sense the Lord of all things, in the sense the preeminent one of all things. So when we go out and we preach the gospel, when Jesus went there, he must have declared, I'm the King, I'm the Lord, and I've been called by the Father to deliver this message unto you. Okay? And what I've really been meditating on this week, and this week is how Jesus is a king. And in the Old Testament, God showed himself to the nation of Israel. He showed himself to a nation which he called his own. I shared a bit about it last week. And that sharing was because he chose those people as a specific people to represent him, to represent his kingdom to come. Here on earth, and God is, in a sense, doing the same through declaring the kingdom of his Son. And the Son came to usher in the kingdom. 1 John 4, verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son and the Savior of the world. So Jesus was the sent one from the Father. Jesus was sent. He didn't just came. He was sent. And he was sent into a different culture. He came from heaven to earth. He was sent amongst people. He was sent as a Savior. He was sent to establish the kingdom. But he was also sent to establish his presence. Wherever Jesus was going, obviously God's presence went with him. And the kingdom was established through proclamation of through signs and wonders, through lives being changed. So when Jesus went, his kingdom and his presence manifested. And I'm going to get back to that later in our own lives. When we think of asking the Father for the kingdom, remember when Jesus went taught his disciples to pray, he says, "Let Father never let your kingdom come. Let your will be done." It's very important. You just keep it in mind. Jesus came first. Let the Father's kingdom come. He came as a sent one. And the amazing thing is, where you went, it says the finger of God to about the demons. And the finger of God speaks about God's presence. God's presence went with Jesus. And it established the kingdom, not just in the natural, but also in the spiritual. Are you guys with me this morning? Okay. So even when Jesus walked, I like it that by the New Testament, the demons cried out. He would sometimes come into a synagogue, into a town, and the demons said, "Son of God, why do you have to do with this? Why you come to torment? Did he come to torment?" So when Jesus went, his presence was spiritually very tangible. The Father's presence, and obviously he was the Son of God. He was God himself. And the spiritual realm reacted. So when we think of the kingdom, we have to think about that as well. Not just moral teaching, not just ideas. We need to think Jesus wants to come into something spiritual. His presence wants to be amongst us. Okay. So even the spiritual realm obeyed who Jesus went because of the Father's presence. Okay, so question I have here is his mission or mine? Are you on his mission? Are you establishing his kingdom in your life? What are you doing? Are you establishing your own? And that's a question we have to ask ourselves. Often we have to calibrate ourselves. Which mission am I on? Am I on a mission to be significant? Am I on a mission to do something great? Am I on a mission to do something of my own? Or am I on the king's mission? I remember when I joined Showbread 2017, I found out the church was a mission-sending church. You know, we send missions all over the world, and short-term missions. And my idea of mission was kind of going somewhere and preaching the gospel, which I don't think is wrong. I think it's a wrong idea of the mission, but that excludes the great commandment, which Jesus says, "I send you a mission to go and make disciples." You are supposed to be in a permanent mission. The short-term missions could be a mission. But daily we pray that the kingdom will come. We will be done. So God is looking for co-laborers and seeing his kingdom come by being obedient to his will. So we go on mission of Christ. Christ is on mission. Where is that? Now we're getting to our part in the mission. John 20, verse 20 to 21, he spoke. He showed him the wounds in his hand. This is now just before Jesus is standing. This is now the permission of another in John. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." So he spoke about Jesus being the sent one, being the one sent from the Father. Now Jesus says, "As the Father sent me into this world to establish the kingdom, to preach the kingdom, to establish the kingdom, let my presence reign here." He's sending us to do that. He's saying, "As I send you, as the Father sent me, I send you And it's really the first fruit of the new Israel. Like I said earlier, God called Israel to be a representative of the mother. Now God is saying, I'm establishing a new kingdom, where it's not a king of the Israelites, but I'm the king of this new Israel, the spiritual Israel. And I'm sending him to establish my kingdom, the new spiritual Israel. I'm sending him to make my kingdom go full, where you are, where you're going. So the church is telling things. The 12 apostles were the first, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles were the first 12. Was seen to do this. You might be saying, but I'm only a disciple, and I'm one of the first 12 apostles. Well, who am I to see the kingdom come? And my argument today is, God has called his whole church to be apostolic. He didn't just call me to be apostolic. He didn't just call some of us. He called all of us to be apostolic. And Mark 3:14-15, I like to love the scripture, and he appointed 12. We are also named apostles, so that they might be with you, that we might send them out to preach. They have authority to cast out demons. Remember I said in the beginning, God didn't just call us to make disciples. He said, I will be with you. And here you see that same parallel again. When he appointed the first disciples, he didn't just call them, appoint them to establish the kingdom. He didn't just appoint them to do things, to see things come to pass. He also said, so that I might be with you. So that's the thing I want us to remember this morning. If there's one thing you can take from this service, let's take this with you. God wants to go with you. And he promises that he will if you take upon yourself the mission of the kingdom, making the kingdom come. By the way, the church is not the kingdom. The church is just the instrument to whom the kingdom comes from. So the kingdom is much bigger than the church. But God primarily uses the church. Establish the kingdom of Christ. His king. Are you excited about that this morning? I'm very excited about that. God wants to establish the kingdom, not to make it come apart, because he calls us to be that people of the kingdom. And he says, when we do that, we will not be that in us. When the kingdom becomes our commission, our aim, when we adopt it, when we say, yes, Lord, we say, the root word of the word apostle is one sent with a message. So he calls us all to be apostolic. He's all given us a message. He's calling us all with a message to go out in the world. So we've got a message of the king, the good news. The king wants to be king of this life. He's a good king. He's a loving king. He's a king in whom there's no variation, no shadow, no doubt. In whom there's no darkness. So we've got a good kingdom to proclaim. He's the best king. It's not just any king. He's the only king. He's the best king. He's the best anybody could ever have. So God's calling a new spiritual nation. And just to confirm that, he chooses 12 people. Remember in the Old Testament, there's 12 tribes. And Israel was 12 tribes. Now he calls 12 people to represent them. So it's just a parallel again. He says the whole kingdom has gone. So when we think of Israel now, God has still got a blessing to everyone on Israel as a nation, but the real Israel now is God's church. That's the true Israel now. That's where his blessing lies. That's where his presence rests. It's on the spiritual Israel. On those who say, we want to proclaim Christ in our lives. We want to use our lives for his glory. Okay? I like this quote from a guy called Bible, James Shearer. There's no participation in Christ without participation in his mission to the world. That by which the church receives its existence is that by which also which it is also given into world mission. So we're basically called into mission. We don't exist unless we exist for the King's mission. We can call into what he is doing. God is inviting us onto the journey with him. We often think we need to invite God into our lives, but God is actually saying, I'm already there. I've been busy even before you were born. I've been busy from the beginning of time. And I'm inviting you I was at a study and prayer session I shared before last year, and there was people from Nigeria coming to pray, and they invited me along, and I prayed with them. And afterwards, the one lady said to me, "Isn't it amazing? These people come from Nigeria to come and pray in our country." And I thought about it, and I went home. After a while, and I prayed to God. I said, "God, why do we have such a super emphasis on people traveling the world in the end?" And God said to me that you're a missionary. You're just a permanent missionary. You know, all of us should be a missionary. God. You know, we live in a world where we think some people are more special than others. But Jesus is saying, if you become a missionary with me, where your life is at, that becomes the mission. That's, I'm already busy in your workplace. I'm already busy in family. I'm already busy in this city. I'm already busy in this world. What is your place in that? And sometimes people say, "No, I'll wait one day till I make a million rand and then I'll preach the gospel." You know, something like that. God doesn't work like that. You know, the kingdom is right now. It's inside of us. And where we are at, that's where the kingdom happens. You know, so some of us are called to stand by the army, keep standing in. You know, but all of us are called to stand somewhere. So it's not calling us bigger or lesser. Important. We're all called into the kingdom to become the king. And some of us are more privileged because you can get to places where others can't. God has given you a door into a place where the kingdom can be the king that others don't have. So I want to challenge us this morning. Where has God placed you already? And what is He doing? Maybe we should ask Him, "God, can I join you on mission? Where am I? Can you show me what you are doing here today? Can I join you in my business? Can I start making disciples here on that?" So what does it look like out there? And I think that's one of the areas where we get confused so often in the kingdom. We have got a certain idea of what a kingdom should look like. And it's not always the way God intended it to be. One of the ideas we for instance have is the church has to be big for it to be effective. I'm reading a book on church planting now, and the guy has done research of the last 100 years in American church growth. I think this is one of the things he comes up with. It is only the most effective way to reach any place in America, and has been statistically, is through church planting. And he says in America, in their culture, church planting has taken a back seat. Churches only in the last 100 years, there's only double as much churches as 100 years ago. You look different reasons. They got different ideas. You know, for instance, they got a parish mindset. A parish mindset means in a certain region, they only allowed to have one Anglican church and one Presbyterian church. So you're not allowed to confer on the boundaries. And that's caused them not to be in a church for 100 years in certain areas. You know? And another area is big church. If the church has got big programs, and satisfy all the needs of the community, that means there's success. You know, that means they reach out more. But you see, statistically, church plants are by far the most effective in reaching people. And there's a lot of reasons for that as well. But one of the reasons, I believe, is this kingdom reason. You know, it's where we go, God wants to take the kingdom. And when we start to place emphasis on things that are external to God, like being big or having programs, or having being professional, for instance. Those things can sometimes deliver the kingdom. Unless I would say to myself, then one day when I know the Bible perfectly, God will use me. One day when I have a degree in theology, God can start using me. And if that is not true, God can call you right now to see the kingdom established where you are at. And that's why I was saying, you see, big churches, percentile-wise, they might be growing 5% a year, and it looks amazing, but the new church plant is by far the best way to reach the community. You know, so America is only now turning back to church planting again. They're only now making an emphasis again. You know, one of the reasons, obviously, for church plants to be more effective is having people that are equipped, but not necessarily professionally trained. If somebody's been trained for 7 years to be a pastor, you cannot send them to the Middle East, for instance, because that person wants a title, you know, he wants a position. So the church often comes to people that the world counts as significant, the kingdom. say, God, what are you doing now in my journey? And I don't say, because you need to tell us a good thing. But if you call to be a doctor, if you call to be a doctor, and be trained in the word, and see the kingdom come in hospital, you must be obedient to that. You know, let's do what God has called us to do. And that's where the kingdom will come. Are you guys with me this morning? Does it make sense? So what does it look like out there? I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning. I ask the Lord, what does the kingdom look like? And the Bible is actually quite full of that. I don't know if you saw it in the New Testament. There's a few parables that say the kingdom is like. You know, the kingdom is like, and then God gives a parable. So some of this, sounds quite confusing. But if you have this idea which I have this morning, the kingdom, being Jesus the King, and the kingdom comes to his church, which is the new spiritual Israel, and you read these parables, and they sometimes look a bit different. And I'm going to quickly look at this, Matthew 13, verse 31 to 33. Put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed with a man that took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a man took and hid in the tree branches of flour. But it was called leaven. So it speaks here about small acts. You know, insignificance. And it speaks, maybe you feel insignificant where you're at. And the kingdom is like small leaven, leavening the whole town. But it's all leaven. So God is saying, he wants to send his kingdom missionaries, his people. He wants to send them to the whole breadth. He wants to send them to the whole city. He wants to send Christians all over Natal, all over Durban. You know, and where they are, they say, God, let your kingdom come. It's going to start affecting this city. As the sweet barn churches is affecting the city, as we go to our workplace and say, God, what have you done? What would you have done here, in this place, in my community, in my family? You know, that's how kingdom comes. You might not be seeing it there now. 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line, the whole place could be changed. I've read this book about missions in the 18th century. In the 18th century, the world was quite a dark place. The individual said, God, you will take the kingdom to the edge of the earth. By the end of the 18th century, about 70% of the world was evangelized. Just two or three individuals, not many. The same God, you will be the heaven. The heaven is the whole town. So it comes down to, Lord, what is happening in my city? What's happening in my company? What's happening in my residence? What's happening in the flat building I live in? We've had an interesting situation this week in the street I live in. Somebody's dog is somebody's walking his dog every morning there, and then he leaves droppings on the sidewalk. And somebody must have gotten there to stray a little bit, so they collected all the droppings and put it under somebody's garage. And then we've got a WhatsApp group and the whole street. And then somebody joined the WhatsApp group that wasn't on it, and they just started throwing accusations about immaturity and etc. So it's been going on the whole week, and something so cool. I mean, just watch this now. The person says it's immature to do what they do, but they're immature by joining a group and just accusing people. So I was like, gosh, you missed it. And last night I came home and the dog poo, well, the thing with the dog poo was in my garage door, not my garage door. So somebody decided to move it to my garage. So it's just been moved around. Nobody's doing it. So I was like, what am I going to do now? I'm going to lose it. This is like ridiculous. Anyway, so I thought, okay, now I'm just going to throw it in my dustbin. So I posted on the group. I said, how did I say? I said, whoever moved the dog poo or the thing in front of my garage, I've done the mature thing and I've placed the cake and pieces in my dustbin on behalf of all of us. God bless. Have a good evening. So it's like, just being nice and kind, you know? Just being Christian. And it's amazing, then the people start responding. Suddenly they're happy about it. But see, it's in small acts like that, you can make a difference. You know, just being the peacemaker, just being the man has so many opportunities where we can make a difference just by how we live. That's what I like about Christ. He came to live amongst us. Christ didn't just come to give us a lot of teachings. He didn't just come to give us a moral code. He actually came to model. He came to live amongst people. So for the kingdom to come, it's not going to come by me preaching or doing something. It's going to come by us going and living it, embodying our being, being the kings and missionaries, and trusting that the king is going with us. He will be with us. Till the end of the age. Are you excited about that? I'm not really excited about that. I've been thinking differently about things. When I go cycling, it's different. When I go spend time with people running, it's different. Okay. So God wants to plant us somewhere to see the kingdom come forth. All of us are actually little church plants. And God can increase that. Kingdom can grow. Who knows? Your company, you might be the only one saved. Who knows if God can save the whole company through your actions? That 11 can turn into 2 or 3. My previous company, I worked there for 12 years, and I started discipleship groups there, teaching groups, prayer groups, all kinds of things we did there. And you know, when I resigned in 12 years, I went from person to person. And you never know what difference you make until you have that conversation at the end of your career, at the end of your time with people. It was just amazing. The things people said to me, I never thought that kind of influence on people. You know, one guy was saying to me, there's always a presence about you, something about you that I can't understand. I didn't realize that about myself, but that's also the Holy Spirit that was with me in that place. So don't neglect what God has promised. He said, I will be with you. Don't go to your workplace tomorrow with your head in a hole like the ostrich. Hold your hand up high, because God says, I will go with you. I will go with you. I will not leave you. I will not listen. Okay, so we represent that thing. There we go. Matthew 30, verse 45 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I've always read this scripture one way. I've always read it about a person being fear the gospel and then selling everything. I think that is a good interpretation. But I like the other interpretation. One of my friends once shared it with me. And he says, what about the kingdom? If you look at it from the king's side, it's like a king that comes and he finds great wealth, value in a person. He sold everything to gain that person. And we see that in the life of God. He sent his son so we might be saved. He loved the world so much that his soul, that it was precious for him to gain mankind back to himself. So where you are at, you know, that's what's going to make the difference. Your workplace, the person that's very difficult, the person that really makes life hard, the person that persecutes you, are you going to start seeing them like a pearl of great price? Are you going to see the city as a city of great wealth and value? Great word. And God's saying that's how the kingdom works. You're going to see the king come, and we need to embody what Jesus was. He came from heaven. The Father sent his best to redeem mankind to us. So are you going to use your best skills? Are you going to be where you're at? Are you going to see your job as what's best to the world? The way you're going to do your work is something going to be different. When you see yourself as representing the king. And his presence being embodied in what you do. So his mission is our only commission. God's calling us on mission. That's what keeps me excited. That's what keeps me going. And what I love is God is calling us onto the same mission, but it's very diverse. Each one of us, you might think I've missed it. And like I shared last week, God gives us talents and things, and he doesn't want us to bury it. And as we start using that, God will multiply what we have. We don't enlarge our territory, so it starts right where you're at. Can't forget, if you have a family, maybe that's all God's called you to. Maybe it's a sweet. That child is going to come. You know, that child needs to become the next C.S. Lewis, or, you know, the next week advance is run about, who knows? You know, that which he imputes into that child is going to make for a change. The Father's going to reward him. For the Father's going to reward waiting for us as we seek the kingdom. Okay, so God's got unique sets of gifts in our lives. I need to say, God, what have you already placed in me? Do you want to place with your grace? What have you already given me so that I can become your kingdom through my life, through my words? So we must stop thinking professional Christianity. We must start thinking kingdom. Luke 1 is 31 to 33. And behold, Jesus, God, the angel speaking to Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign in the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be. And the house of Jacob, once again, the 12 tribes of Israel, David was the king of the nation of Israel. And this is, Jesus, that throne. And of his kingdom there will be no end. What a promise is that? That our lives is going to be kingdom focused. Kingdom minded, kingdom ordained lives. There will be no end. Now you can put your life, your effort in this world into many things, building many kingdoms, pursuing many goals, pursuing many tasks, whatever. But there's only one kingdom that's going to stand in when Jesus comes back, and it's going to be his kingdom. And he's going to say, well done, being faithful servant. Your Bible says, everything will burn. And all you will be with us. So what are we going to spend our time with as Christians? What are we going to pursue with our lives? What are we going to put our hands to? Okay? His kingdom will be with us. King Jesus is the king of the spiritual Israel. His king are those who say, by his spirit, you will live. By your presence, we will pursue your purposes. In this life. William R. Shanky says this, Jesus Christ embodied the mission. The Holy Spirit empowers for that mission. The church is the instrument of that mission. And the culture is the context in which this mission occurs. So, that obviously means this is where we are. God sends us. And the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, is relevant to every culture. That's what's amazing about it. Every culture. No culture is above. But every practice in the gospel, you know, cultures can understand it. God made the gospel of relevance to every culture, to every kind of self. You might even say to yourself, I was born in the wrong place, the wrong culture, in the wrong time. But God is not surprised. You know, if you've been born in a very secular place, very godless place, whatever it might be, the thing goes in there is not perturbed. What we see with the missionaries in the 18th century. They went from Europe to places in the Vatican, and I was sharing them last week. And they weren't afraid of it. Because the gospel is what they learned. The kingdom has got its own culture that trumps every culture. So the church is the instrument. You know, you are God's only plan. You only have a plan B. God doesn't have a plan B. So Africa's plan is not a good government. Government can be as democratic as they want to be, you know? If they're godless, if the kingdom doesn't wear any hands off, this country is going to the dogs. It's only God intervenes. And he intervenes through his church. And his church starts to pray. And his church starts to rise up. Men and women. It says the whole creation is waiting in the manifestations of the sons of the Lord of God. That we will say, God, I will be that minister. I will be that person that starts praying for my country, for my workplace, for my family. It's that exciting, right? My culture is the context. I don't see you, just where you are at. His mission is where his presence belongs. I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to finish off with God's presence. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, I read it earlier, and Jesus came and spoke to him saying, all authorities will be given to me in heaven and on earth, but they're going to make disciples. And I promise, I'll make it always. And in the end, when you read stories about missionaries, about in the last 300 years, some of them suffered horrendous things. Some of them really seen a lot of people die around them. Some of them seen family members die. Some of them even saw their children die with them when she came. And then mostly when you read the biographies, you ask them, so why did you do this? And they say, it's nothing compared to God's will. God came with us. And I would never exchange anything as life. And that is for me the thing that I think we miss so much in the kingdom. We do things, but we forget God promises to be with us. God promises to bless us and what we do. When I stand here this morning, the greatest thing that I can acknowledge is that His words bring light to fulfill God's will. So that the devil can take anything from us to depend on God's presence. That is a promise. Your life will, all of our lives will be very different. But one thing is the same in the form of us, and that's His presence. So seek to be in the presence of His presence to us. And the ultimate curse is obviously to be out of God's presence. Jesus cried out once to the Father and said, why did you forsake me? What happened there is Jesus became a curse in the kingdom of the place. And what is the curse? Was He cursed for me? And the ultimate curse is being devoid of God, with God's presence. The worst thing for Jesus was to be without the Father's presence. That was the worst thing for him. And the theologian says Jesus didn't die with words, He died with heart. You know? So why did his heart stop? Because he lost all his hope. That's God's presence to him. And so that's the worst place you can ever be. Not dying. Not losing things in this world. The worst state in this world is the state of God's forsakenness. And then that's what's going to happen one day when this age passes by. God is just going to withdraw His presence from us. He said, I don't want you. I don't want you anymore. Then, and that's what we're fighting for. And now it's the best for all mankind. To get the knowledge of the Savior, not just mental knowledge. And we speak about knowledge, we speak about experience and inspiration. We all need to experience God. Experience His presence. And it says, getting deep. And read Psalm by Psalm, getting free. The David speaks about God being with him. Where we go through the valleys. God leads him to still waters. God sits from the table and His enemies. So that's a good example of God. How on us will look like. Sometimes we will be in a good place. Sometimes we will be amazing things happen. Sometimes we'll be going through the valleys of death, the shadow of death. Yeah? And I cannot stand here this morning guarantee that your life will be easy. You know, the chances are, if you're going to choose the kingdom, there's going to be some repercussions in terms of comfort. But one thing I can guarantee this morning, God says to him, okay, in Psalm 73, verse 22 to 26, the bad thing come up. And let's read this with us. And nevertheless, I like that. You must go read the Psalms and speak so much of this. David is just a man after God's presence. And nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to go away. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon the earth that I desire besides you, and I flesh my heart. Okay, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion. Forever. Kurt, when he was here about a month ago, he was sharing about the guy that was stuck in a cave. And eventually, when they got him out, the guy died. And they couldn't explain why the guy died because nothing was wrong with his body. He just lost hope because he was stuck in the cave and died. So he stayed up. And then as we got him out, we survived. And I like what it says here. My flesh and my heart might fail, but God is the strength of my heart. My portion there. If you're on a mission with God, and you face whatever we face in this life, we've got one promise. My flesh and my heart might fail, but you're the strength. He's the strength of my heart. And my portion, right now. He Himself my strength. His presence sustains me, holds me, strengthens me. That's the promise. I believe God wants to do amazing things. So this would be the cornerstone of everything we do. Pursuing His presence. Pursuing to be in His mission. Not being outside of His presence isn't that what He's thrown at us. So maybe this morning you're facing difficult things in your life. Maybe your life is good. God is saying, will you come on mission with me? And I will be with you for the end of the age. So it starts this morning, Christmas, for us to become part of this mission. Let me just give you what it's saying. For us to become part of this mission, we need to receive the one that you're seeing from the Father. The one that is the mission of God. The new Israel, the King of this new nation. God is calling His new, His church, His new church, Israel on a mission. And for you to be part of that, for you to be part of His church, doesn't mean you disappear to Jesus as being a good moral teacher. And then you need to say yes to the benefits that He gives you. It's saying, Lord Jesus, I want to be on this mission with you. I'll say you must acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. Savior is saving us from destruction, death, relational breakdown. But Lordship means calling Him as King. And the only way you could really be part of this mission is all the same. Lord Jesus, You are my King. I receive commandments from You. I receive instructions from You. I receive my life root, my life plan, my identity, my future. I receive it from You. You're at work. I want to join in what You do. That's you this morning. You've never said yes to the mission of Jesus in your life. This is the opportunity for you to join that mission. We would love to pray with you. I was easy to confess before man. Jesus, the Lord is Lord and Savior of your life. You enter into my kingdom. If you're here this morning, you want to make a decision for the first time, we give you that opportunity. Just put up your hands and show you God, saying, God, I'm investing in Your kingdom. I'm investing in Your kingdom's cause. I'm investing into that place. Where Your presence, where You've been born, my Father, in Your footsteps. I'm investing in the army of the life most high God. That's you this morning. You might have before committed to something that you have not committed to. But again, you're not giving your life to Him. You're not handing up your life to Him. And you must be born this morning. Put up your hand. Say, Lord Jesus, I want Your presence so close with me that I'm going to invest in Your arm. I want to be part of Your kingdom. That's where we are. That's You. That's me. What it means is obviously it means obedience to the King. Says, I didn't do anything unless the Father told me so. It means that we, when the Word speaks, we do it. We do it because we don't want to miss His presence. And I want you this morning to be honest with yourself. God isn't here to condemn, He's called for you back home. So don't leave this place this morning. You're about His presence. Sometimes we have to make our life and say, God, I've lived my life for myself. I've not been willing to do the things You want me to do. I've not been willing to give my life 100% to You. God is not a God of 50%. He's not a God of doing more. He wants 100%. He wants to be the source, the strength. strength, the power of the Christian business. That's not a feeling such we can't serve him. May it bless you this morning. Help us to finish by saying, Lord, you want your presence. You want your presence. It's nothing as well but your presence. I hear you this morning and you desire after God's presence. Also want to hear that. You want more of his presence. You want his presence more than you worry about man things. You want to be in his world more than you worry about things that surround you, that people might say. You're not ashamed of him. You're not ashamed of the king. You're saying, I will proclaim you where I go. I will be a witness unto you. I will use the opportunity you give me. I will not be afraid. I will sell out my life to see your kingdom come. If that's you this morning, I can put up your hand. What is the sign to me? It's a sign to the Holy Spirit. Because I believe God cannot fill us with the Holy Spirit unless we come to this place. If there's any pride in our lives, anything that says, surely, I'm fine. You're in a dangerous place. I've had to make rethink my own life recently. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it for external? Am I doing it for what man says? Am I doing it because the reward that's in it for myself? Or am I doing it for the king? Is that enough? And that's what God is saying here this morning. What do you do for me? Will you do it for the king only? Not the king and the king but the king and what somebody says, what people say about you. Do you have conditions attached to him using you? You say, I will only go for the king if I don't get shamed. I will only go for the king if there's no cost involved. The king is here this morning, he's saying, do you really want me? Do you want my presence for real? And if that's you, I want you to put up your hand. Don't be ashamed. I'm putting up my hand. I'm saying to you, I want your presence. I want your presence. I want to give everything I can. And God says, I will confirm you. He says, make disciples, all the nations, baptize them. That's God's promise, and I believe the only reason why something happens is because God's presence is not the promises. That's why the church in the West, they're not that power. And if we really want God's power, we must lay all down for his presence. Say, God, send me, let me. Lord, here I am. And the amazing thing is, Mr. Gray said it to me so well this week. He said it so well. We asked him in a small group, what is the thing that you'll ask for? And he said, I'll ask for more of them. And then he said, if I have the king, I have everything. The amazing thing is, God is not supposed for, he wants to give us the best. But we mustn't come to him for the things. Come to him for his presence. And things are a byproduct. So is that where you are at today? Will you do anything? Deal with anything? Take any rock out of the way to have his presence. And I feel that's what God is saying today to us. Do you want more of me? Do you really want to be filled with my spirit? I was challenged a while ago in only half and says, In the New Testament, it's not one occasion where somebody has been full of the Spirit, where they cannot testify the moment that it happened. And that is quite something. He says, if we truly, truly want God in the heart of this world, if we truly realize that that's the name of the Spirit in God. Because the Spirit doesn't compete. He waits for this space. For him. Father, this morning we say, Lord, we want you. We don't come in fear, Lord. Let us come in sons of the world. We say, Lord Jesus, I want to see your kingdom come. So nothing greater than this world is meant to see your kingdom come. God, I spoke a lot of things about the kingdom this morning, but it really comes down to Jesus. Lord, it's not the place where we can be spectators in the kingdom. There's no such kingdom. That is not, that's a false kingdom. There's only one kingdom, that's what Jesus is being. When you sign up, when you say, Jesus, your will be done, your kingdom come, your name. As a neighbor, we ask you, Lord Jesus, Lord, I have your will amongst us. I have your way amongst us. Let your kingdom come for real in our hearts, in our lives, in the area of your ourselves. But I pray now with every person that says, oh Lord, you come for us. You're experienced. I don't know.